This is PWTorch.com editor Wade Keller, along with Torch columnist Bruce Mitchell. This is the Bruce Mitchell audio show for Friday, October 10th. Bruce, let's begin with TNA. Bound for Glory this weekend. It's TNA's self-proclaimed WrestleMania event. We've got the Fan Fest over the weekend. They're in a major arena in Chicago. Major market. They built everything up until then. They signed Mick Foley, made a special referee. And Samoa Joe and Sting wrestling each other for the one and only time since they did announce on last night's show that they agreed in the contract. They both demanded in the contract that there'd be no rematch.
Yeah, I love what Don West just does. We've been waiting for that, like, that it occurred to anybody that that would be the stipulation. And there's any reason for that to be the stipulation that they've already established.
There were some jaw droppers on Impact, and that's really saying something because, you know, it's Impact, you know. I mean, we're kind of used to jaw droppingly stupid things at times. But there were quite a few of those on this show that I thought really was annoying. It's like there's two different people writing the show, and they never get together and compare notes. I mean, it gets pretty bad sometimes. But I guess thumbs down to the final hype of the show, or was it a thumbs up but flawed?
I thought it was, you know, flawed. I thought when the rating came in and they're under a one and they've got, I thought they focused.
That's,
I mean,
that's not what I'm asking though. But
I mean, I thought the focus was good in the sense of they really put a lot of focus on their major match, which was Jeff Jarrett versus Kurt Angle with Mick Foley's, you know, special enforcer.
Yeah.
But I thought it was good. They put a lot of time to it. That would be the thing that's going to sell on the pay per view. You'd think with Samoa Joe and Sting kind of right there. But I also thought the story that they told, just I think the word jaw dropping was pretty good. I mean, it didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, we can think about some of the little things that were just kind of ridiculous, but probably not game-changing, except for the fact that all added up, it makes you kind of embarrassed to be a fan of the product when it's as nonsensical as it can be sometimes. But let's focus first on Kurt Angle and Jeff Jarrett with Mick Foley. There were a few tenets to the promotion of this match on this show. Ultimately, we had – well, let's just kind of go through them. We had Jeff Jarrett sitting at a desk talking about what this match meant to him and saying that he – Angle wrestles every night. He hasn't wrestled in 2 years, so of course he's kind of nervous. Boris jumped to the conclusion. It's just one of those little things. I'll just point it out. When Jeff says, you know, well, of course I'm kind of, you know, nervous because Angle wrestles around the world every night and I haven't wrestled in 2 years. So Boris, as the script called for, just nonsensically leaped to the conclusion, does that mean you having second thoughts about this match? It was just like so overdone and unnatural. And then Jarrett just said no, but it's become personal with Angle and he's going to leave it all in the ring. So we get some cliches. And then Boris noticed Angle's gold medal sitting on the desk and asked him what that was about. And Jarrett snapped it away like, you know, Boris was going to grab it and run and said that, you know, he had big plans for it. And then Boris got really orange-faced, or he has an orange face, but his orange face got bug-eyed. And then he asked, and he goes, what plans? What plans? All hysterically. It was just a weird, corny segment, and it was the second highest rated segment of the show at the beginning, and they lost the audience from then on, except for the knockouts match, I think in part because it's just silly. It's just stuff like that. So anyway,
you know,
I thought it was off to a bad start.
You know, let's say you're sitting there interviewing a major sports star, and he's about to have a match against another major sports star who won an Olympic gold medal. Mm-hmm. And you look on the guy's desk, and you see he has the other guy's Olympic gold medal. Now, wouldn't you ask, where did you get that? I mean, like, he had it, and it was, you know, you're sitting there going, okay.
Yeah.
And I guess it's like, and the mystery is supposed to be, what's he going to do with it? But it was like, where did he get it?
Well, and Styles had it.
Huh?
AJ Styles has had it forever and stole it from Angle, and now somehow Jarrett ended up with it, and they didn't.
Oh, that's right, because they really, I kind of forgot about that.
Yeah, it was just, there was kind of this gap in the storyline where all of a sudden Jarrett
and
had
it. Well, which even makes it worse, if you were the guy that had an Olympic gold medal and somebody stole it from you, wouldn't you do the things you needed to do to get it back, like call the police or threaten to call the police or get your lawyer or some kind of thing? Wouldn't you, or would you sit there and just no-sell it the way Kurt Angle has?
Well, he was upset about it at first,
yeah.
But then it was a storyline that went nowhere. It was a bridge to nowhere of a storyline. It like, what's the point of AJ stealing it, not returning? Angle's really, really mad, and then they hang it over the top of the ring, and then AJ gets it back or something like that. I don't. It just kind of it just kind of dangled and wasn't addressed and just kind of hung out there. And then all of a sudden, Jared has it. If
Jared has it,
Jared doesn't say
that he got it from Styles. Styles doesn't even blink an eye about him having it.
But then Bruce, let's jump to the chase on this.
Yeah.
Later in the show, Jared walks out. Remember, Jared says it's personal.
Angle
last week just brought up Jeff Jarrett's dead wife who died of cancer. So what does Jarrett do to really drive home the hype for this match? Stand there, hand him his medal, say he earned it, and shake his hand.
Right.
The only reason that they
before
ended up
that he said, but before that he said the biggest mistake that TNA had made was in signing Kurt Angle.
Right.
But not except for, you know, last week they kind of said, because I guess he didn't really explain why it was a big, bad mistake. Now, was it a mistake because he's run roughshod over people,
right,
beat up people, and it's a cheating, you know, the cheating heel, or is it a mistake because he said some undisclosed things on some sort of interview that they never really read and they embarrassed him, or is it a mistake because he still loves Vince McMahon and they all love Vince McMahon and they all think he's his father or their
or
father?
Or is it a mistake because you brought up my dead wife last week and I still can't get over that?
Exactly.
Or
is it a mistake because you're going to hurt me, or what? You know, what's the mistake?
No, you're right. It made no sense. So that aspect of it is less of a big deal to me, but it is a very good example of the collective aspect of what makes no sense on this. But the big picture is Jarrett told Borash at the beginning of the show, this is personal, and I'm going to lay it all on the line. Then he gets to the ring, hands him his gold medal, says you've earned it, shakes his hand, and acts respectful towards him a week after he said he brought his dead wife into the picture. It made no sense. You might as well take a deck of cards with a bunch of lines and actions Jared and Angle could say or do, shuffle them, and then turn it into a script. Because there was nothing about what Jared did in that ring that made any sense. It was completely incongruent with what happened last week and what he said earlier in the show. And then Angle brings up Jared's kids, which, of course, is supposed to be really personal again, and that raised the stakes again. So good, at least they ended on a note of Jared having a reason to hate Angle. But somewhere between the beginning segment with Borash and Jared walking in the ring with the gold medal, Jared decided, I'm going to be bigger than Angle, and other than telling him it was the biggest mistake ever to hire him, I'm going to be respectful towards him and hand him his gold medal because he earned it. And he, like you said, not even bring up where the medal came from. It's just, your head is spinning watching this. And
he said because you earned it, but he doesn't tell him, he doesn't say, you know, when they stole it from you, I don't like you, but I think you earned it, and you should have this back. So I talked him into giving it to him. He doesn't say anything. He just says, because you earned it. They leave out all kinds of stuff in it. And then they go back to, you know, I mean, it does, so I guess it makes it personal. But if he wasn't mad about bringing up the dead wife, personal enough for him, why would bringing up the three kids be personal? So it's like, you know, what's he going to say?
Because he was really mad at the beginning of Impact, and an hour later he was fine. Yeah. So apparently, you know, by Sunday he should be over the daughters being brought up too, when he says, tell your daughters daddy won't be home, which is meant to be, well, mommy didn't come home once already, and now daddy won't come home. I mean, they're playing off of this, and it's not as overt as last week. Last week was reprehensible. I mean, it was just...
it's pretty overt. Exactly what you said, yeah.
Yeah. But what they did last week with Angle was I mean, for Jared to authorize Angle bringing up Jill's death, I mean, it was just, you know,
I'm generally blasé about their rating. I don't think their rating moves very much. But look what happened.
Unless
this
it backs
week,
up a point you made.
Unless it impacts them, and it's going to. This week it does. I mean, so I'm going to use it. Because that 0.95, you know, they got that 0.95. Well, here they are. With no vice presidential debate competition. And here they are with Mick Foley. They've got their legendary returning guy, the backbone of the promotion.
Yep.
They've got the biggest star in the promotion, Kurt Angle.
Yep.
Legendary backbone being Jeff Jarrett. And then the big acquisition. And the show is centered around all that. And when the rating, I mean, I didn't expect it to move, but I didn't expect it to go down.
Yeah.
It went down.
I thought this week's rating was among the most significant in TNA history because it was the competition was cleared out to a degree. They had to go against the debut of The Office, and I don't want to underestimate that. But there's, as people point out, and rightfully so, there's 100 plus channels on cable, and no one show can make a huge difference other than certain things. You know, Game 7 of the World Series, against Yankees, Red Sox, it indisputably knocked Rod's rating down because it was lower than it was week before and the week after, and that was several years ago. There's incidents where clearly there's a definitive impact. You, though, need to have a product, if you're a wrestling promoter, that can withstand a sitcom debuting or even a VP debate to a degree, although that was a pretty special debate when it gets right down to it. I mean, that was huge, politically speaking. But this was a huge week because there was nothing that out of the ordinary, nothing totally special. And it was a few weeks after Mick Foley was established as being part of the promotion. If there was curiosity about what's Foley going to do next, people who had ever watched TNA or are watching it every 3 weeks or every 2 weeks, they would have tuned in this week to see what's next. And the ratings should go up because we know not everybody watches Impact watches every single week. You know, 20, 30, 40% of the audience watches every 2 or 3 weeks. This should have been the culmination, especially the week before their biggest pay-per-view of the year. It's a complete confirmation that their booking approach is bankrupt right now, as if there wasn't enough evidence. But this, to me, was that final nail.
And you know what, too? I mean, the scary part is also that that's a lot of star power for them, or it should be. Although I'd argue that one of them's been there for 2 or 3 years. We've seen a lot from them. That's Kurt Angle. I'm not Jeff Jarrett's miscast as a legend figure and all that, even though he's been pushed that way for 6 years. And I don't know about Mick Foley. I don't know that Mick Foley in a supporting cast also playing your next door neighbor the way he plays it.
I know.
And perfectly likable. I mean, he's annoying, but I mean, perfectly likable with no threat, nothing much of anything. He's going to take care of any physical threat, but that's about it. And, you know, playing the special guest star. I just think that, the booking definitely hurts. The booking, because nothing's going to happen of any consequence. Even though, there was a lot of ludicrous stuff. Sting going out there saying.
Well, Bruce.
Well, yeah.
Let's stay focused because I don't want to just.
Well, it is kind of
focused. I want to spend 10 minutes on it.
I mean, part of it is they say, you know, they do everything is the greatest, biggest thing ever, and there's no consequence comes out of anything that happens. And I think that's a big, big, I just think that's a big part of it. I think it's they overestimated the star power of Mick Foley. They've damaged the other two. One of them doesn't have it. They've damaged Kurt Angle and the booking.
Let me throw this in there because you're making good points, and I want to back that up with what I know you love the most, which is our unscientific online polls. But for what it's worth, we asked 2 weeks ago, I put this poll up, or close to 2 weeks ago, put a poll up. Rate your enthusiasm for the TNA product right now. And this is basically from the Mick Foley appearance on, or, you know, the debut of Mick Foley, the signing of Mick Foley. 770 votes. The number one answer is zero, the lowest it's ever been, 29%. Then you have 17% at one, well below average, 15% at two, below average. And so that adds up to 62, 62, 62, 61%. Have Impact right now rated as below average for them. The week or two around the time that Mick Foley has debuted and Jeff Jarrett returns and you're approaching the biggest pay-per-view in their history, and you only have 11% saying that that their enthusiasm is either well above average or the highest it's ever been, compared to the top two numbers for being on the low end being at 46%. I mean, 46% versus 11% if you take the top end versus the bottom end. I mean, again, it's just porch viewers, it's unscientific, but this should be a time where everything kind of comes together, and I know for a fact that they had high hopes for what Foley would do. And they have to be absolutely demoralized on a number of levels by this rating coming in. It was under 1.0 this week. We haven't really announced that yet. But it was 0.95. I mean, it rounds up to a 1.0, but it's below 1.0.
Yeah, you know, and I will say this, the only time I feel like those polls are really scientific and valid is when they agree with what I'm saying or what I'm feeling when I'm watching them. So,
they are what they are. I mean, it's not.
No, they
not
are what
random.
They are, but there should
certainly
be.
Not random.
You know, I mean, it's not necessarily that it should be this great triumph, but there should be some movement. Even if the booking is lousy, there should be some movement based on stars, based on they've got some.
Right.
New stars. So, you know, Jarrett is new after 2 years. Should be new after 2 years. The crowd reacts to him like he's new. A legend. And Mick Foley certainly is. And, you know, that's really depressing. I will say this, they have earned that. And I wonder, too, whether there were some people turned off by the bringing in of Jarrett's wife and his children into the
I think the rating drop a week after with less competition, no matter how you look at it, less competition, is a sign that I think they're turning people away, and I think it's big things like that that they don't even see. And I think, you know, just themes throughout the show. I mean, the fact that matches, to me, watching a TNA Impact match is usually like watching a ski jumper fall and tumble down a hill. I mean, you can watch it, but there's no sense of order, and you know you're just tumbling to a crash. These matches that they
that's
have.
That's a good way to put it. You know what, that's a really good way to put it. I mean, that's definitely how it is.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I mean, I'm watching the action on this show, and I mean, Petey and Sanjay and Machismo and Creed on this show. They had a 5-minute match, no commercial breaks, but it was just, and they did some stuff really well, good athleticism. The last 40 seconds of the match was just amazing that they could pull it off and have the right timing. But it was just a ski jumper tumbling to the bottom of the hill, and you know it's coming, and it's going to come quickly, and it's just chaotic. And then you had Beer Money against Matt Morgan and Abyss, and you had Team 3D just yelling into the microphone on color commentary, just talking over everything for 5 minutes. And that's, I mean, Matt Morgan is a cluster mess in everything he does. I mean, it's just the wrestling on the show. I guess the big picture, what I'm saying is the wrestling on the show, I don't think breeds a sense of let me kick back and enjoy a wrestling show. The whole show is just uncomfortable and not pleasant to watch. There's a lot happening, and obviously it's enough to get a million and a half people to watch every week, but it should be much bigger with the star power they have based on history of what wrestling shows draw on a powerful cable network and a primetime clearance. They're clearly underperforming given the budget, the time slot, and the stars that they have. And yeah. I think the nonsense booking, the non sequitur booking is crazy. On this show. I mean, it is astounding.
I mean, this is a little thing. The consequences with Creed won that match.
Yep.
Shouldn't you give him a promo to talk about his big title shot that he's never had before?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know? But that's a good example. Another example, and this is a bigger issue. Christian walks out. Whose side is he on? He hasn't taken sides yet. He's a top star. He's a veteran, but he's kind of young. He might side with either side. What does he do? He comes out, and he says, I quote, or maybe I don't want to pick a side, or better yet, maybe I don't need to pick a side. Those are the last words out of his mouth. Okay, then Booker came out, and AJ Styles come out. So then, what does Mike Tenay say when Christian is announced as the special referee for the match between Booker and AJ later in the night? Mike Tenay says, this should help answer the question of which side Christian is on. Christian just said he's not picking sides.
Yeah.
Mike Tenay then says 2 minutes later, now we'll find out which side Christian is on. I mean, you have to
because you know here's the other thing. Here's the other thing, Wade, that I thought of when I was watching that. Although why I think of this after watching 6 years of TNA is kind of beyond me, or how many years I've watched this Russo book.
Yeah.
If he's the referee and he decides to be a good referee, then you would know what side he was on because one guy would win and the other guy would lose based on who was the better wrestler at that specific time.
This is the problem. You've got Vince Russo writing and scripting lines that end up when all the puzzle pieces are put together and the deck is shuffled and reorganized into some sort of a show. You have a case of an announcer reading things where I think he's just disconnected emotionally and intellectually from what he's watching. It's disjointed. So he's just reading scripted lines. Or if they don't make sense, he's just there to collect a paycheck and not raise any trouble, because that's been Tenay's pattern through one disastrous tenure after another that he I'm beginning to think doesn't know any better, because you would think at some point his head would explode if he did. But he's reading these lines that don't make sense. You want to have, if I'm a booker, my experiment in a way to hold me in check as booker would be announcers know nothing and they're not scripted. And then I am interested to go back, and you'd have to trust your announcers to understand the business and
well,
the
they are.
But then you go back and watch your show and go, did this make sense to the announcers, and did they react emotionally and logically to what I did? If they didn't, it was my fault as a booker. But when you script announcers to say things, you lose that sense of organic reaction to things. And then when you script them to say things that completely contradict what you just booked and scripted for the wrestler 2 minutes earlier, that's just – it's just grounds for dismissal.
Yeah. Well, I mean – there's grounds for dismissal for this guy in several different ways, and that, you know, it's been a horrible job. And it's getting worse. It's getting more out of control and stranger. And
I think if there was ever a time to reevaluate things, and I mean, Jason Paul's been doing a good job reporting in the Page 2 Buzz on the Torch about how Dixie Carter, Jeff Jarrett had signs of tension between them. And I mean, I think, you know, I mean, I predicted in August I predicted a year ago that, or at the end of this year, that by, let me get that right. I predicted at the end of last year or the beginning of this year that by August there would be a booking change. I think signing Foley and having the rating go down the week before Bound for Glory could lead to a shakeup, and I think it's backed by the information that Jason's reporting, which is that there's tension between Dixie and Jeff, and I think that could be the sign that, you know, we need to make some changes, and I think Dixie might have been waiting for this rating to decide to do that. Totally conjecture. I think it's absolutely called for. I think it's 2 months too late. Well, it's even more than 2 months too late, but it's 2 months beyond my prediction. So in that respect, it's 2 months too late because I wanted to be right, but anyway. Actually, well, I did want to be right. I wanted TNA's ratings to go to a 2.0, and us talking about what a great product it was, and how Russo learned his lessons, and Jarrett and Russo together finally got their shit together and put together a good show we could be excited to talk about every week and point out how they've learned from history and why this worked and what they're doing with the talent that we would have never imagined would work, and it's working. That would have been great. That's what I wish for. But if it's not working, I do wish for change.
Well, I wish for change, and one of the things about it is that
All right, that concludes the 5-minute free clip of today's VIP audio show. If you're interested in having access to the complete audio shows that run between 10 minutes up to sometimes an hour, 15 minutes each, just click on the VIP sign-up info button in the upper left corner of the screen at pwtorch.com on any page, right under our logo. And you can get more details on all the features you get with a VIP membership, including around 50 VIP exclusive audio shows per month start to finish, along with a lot more ad-free access to the site, the PW Torch Today PDF bulletins that come out most days that I write with the breaking news and analysis, and so much more. Hundreds of back issues from the Torch newsletter, both in text and PDF format now, and a lot more. Just check out the whole list of VIP features. It costs $7.50 per month to become a member. It is cheaper if you subscribe for longer term. And we also have an availability of paper copy subscriptions to the Torch newsletter where you can have it delivered to your doorstep all 16 pages every week with news, analysis, exclusive columns, interviews, and more. And with a newsletter subscription, it's about 75 cents more per week to get the newsletter delivered to your home, but you get all the other online VIP benefits along with that. So basically, it's just cost of postage and printing we pass along to you. Otherwise, it doesn't really matter to us either way which option you choose. But if you'd like to get that 16-page paper copy delivered to your door, you might want to check out that option. Otherwise, you can go with the eSub option, and I hope you'll maybe give us a try for 1 month and see what it's like to have access to the complete VIP audio shows every single day. All right, that's it for me. Until next time, on behalf of the entire Torch staff, I thank you for listening, and I sign off.